In the plaza of New York's City Hall, thousands have massed for New York's official memorial to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Now we take you to the platform and his order, Mayor F.H. LaGuardia.
Invocation by the Most Reverend J. Francis A. McIntyre, Roman Catholic Bishop of the Archdiocese of New York.
At this solemn moment when the world is in sorrow and the people of our beloved land are particularly grieved, I shall read for you the text of the proclamation issued by the President of the United States. It has pleased God in his infinite wisdom to take from us the immortal spirit of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the 32nd President of the United States. The leader of his people in a great war, he lived to see the assurance of victory, but not to share it. He lived to see the first foundations of the free and peaceful world to which his life was dedicated, but he lived not to enter into himself upon that world. His fellow countrymen will sorely miss his fortitude and courage in time to come. The peoples of the earth who love the ways of freedom and of hope will mourn him. But though his voice is silent, his courage is not spent. His faith is not extinguished. The courage of great men outlives them to become the courage of their people and the peoples of the world. It lives beyond them and upholds their purposes and brings their hopes to pass. Now, therefore, I, Harry S. Truman, President of the United States of America, and do appoint Saturday next, April the 14th, the day of the funeral services for the dead president, as a day of mourning and prayer throughout the United States. I earnestly recommend the people to assemble on that day in their respective places of divine worship, there to bow down in submission to the will of Almighty God, and to pay out of full hearts their homage of love and reverence to the memory of the great and good man whose death they mourn. In witness whereof I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed, done at the city of Washington the 13th day of April in the year of our Lord 1945, and of the independence of the United States 169th, signed Harry S. Truman, President, Edward R. Stettinius, Jr., Secretary of State. In this crucial moment in the life of our country, when in the course of a worldwide war, on the eve of the expected realization of a major military victory which will influence the future of the peoples of the world for years to come, when amidst the preparations for a conference which will have for its purpose the acceptance of the principles of hope for peace settlements and permanent peace, our commander-in-chief has been taken away by the hand of God. We, however, face the future with resolute confidence, recalling the words of our beloved Archbishop Spelman in his prayer, his creed for America, when he said, "We believe in America because we believe in God and God's providence that has been over us from the earliest days of our beginnings. Believing in God, we are confident both of his merciful forgiveness of our national sins and his awareness of our national virtues. Believing in God's providence, we are confident of our high resolve that this fair land, the visible setting of the vast, immaterial soul of the American nation, shall never lose its initial consecration into the common fatherhood of God, so that we and our children's children shall live in peace and harmony among ourselves and with our neighbors. In this America, we believe, For this America we live. For this America we stand ready to die. Our prayer for America, our confidence in America, is today as it was in the days of the infancy of our United States. And I shall close with the words of that stalwart citizen and churchman, Archbishop Carroll, who in the year 1800 wrote the prayer of which I shall give you the conclusion. We pray thee, O God of might, wisdom, and justice, through whom authority is rightly administered, the laws are enacted, and judgments decreed, assist by thy Holy Spirit of counsel and fortitude the President of the United States, that his administration may be conducted in righteousness and be eminently useful to the people over whom he presides, by encouraging due respect for virtue and religion, by a faithful execution of the laws in mercy and justice, and by restraining vice and immorality. We recommend to thy unbounded mercy, O God, all our brethren and fellow citizens throughout the United States, that they may be blessed in the knowledge and sanctified in the observance of thy most holy law, that they may be preserved in union and in that peace which the world cannot give, and after enjoying the blessings of this life, be admitted to those that are eternal. Amen.
The village blacksmith, abide with me.
Murray Butler, President of Columbia University, speaks for the people of the city of New York.
Your Honor, distinguished guests, my fellow citizens, this is a day of sorrow and of mourning for all Americans, wherever they may be. They have lost their president. President Franklin Roosevelt, at the very height of his career, his leadership in national and international policies, and of foresight, has been taken from us without warning and with startling suddenness. It is the saddest of moments, and it is not possible to exaggerate the importance of our loss. Franklin Roosevelt, who had served in the presidency longer than any of his predecessors, had made himself not only a captain of the American mind, but a leader in the constructive statesmanship of this modern world. With the support of American public opinion and with the background of American power and influence, he had made himself a dominating, powerful force in the life of the world and a leader, a constructive leader, in the movement to organize this world so that the awful events upon which we are now compelled to look may never take place again. Franklin Roosevelt laid down his life for his country. He had exhausted his strength and his vitality by his years of overwork and by his deep concern and the efforts which that concern involved for all these great movements with which he was identified in every part of the globe. No longer young, he had recently made journeys to Africa, to Egypt, to Malta, to Turkey, and to Russia, in order to confer on the spot, so to speak, with leaders of opinion, and to see at first hand the circumstances which had to be dealt with in order to go forward with a constructive policy of international cooperation and organization to establish peace, to maintain peace, and to give America safety and prosperity. At the very moment when he passed from earth, he had on his mind the speech which he was to have made, a speech of welcome at the coming conference of international organization to be held in San Francisco within a few days. His mind was on that great constructive undertaking. He had already brought about the very important conferences on specific topics which had been held at Hot Springs, Virginia, at Atlantic City, New Jersey, in the state of New Hampshire, and the Dumbarton Oaks in Washington. With all of that material gathered together, he was ready now to propose to this new international conference in San Francisco the next steps to be taken to make sure that that from which the world has been suffering in so colossal a fashion for the last few years could never occur again. What a program, what an outlook, what an achievement. Franklin Roosevelt possessed the three fundamental characteristics of constructive statesmanship. He had foresight, he had courage, and he had faith. It was foresight which enabled him to look into the future and see what had to be done. It was courage that carried him forward to its doing. It was faith in what it would all mean that gave him the vigor, power, and the influence over his fellow men. He was the 31st, not the 32nd, of our presidents, and one of the very greatest. One would have to go all the way back to Abraham Lincoln to find any president who had problems of anything like similar importance. And Lincoln's problems were entirely domestic. They related to the United States and the United States alone. But these problems were worldwide. And the man that we have lost was a worldwide statesman and not merely an American leader or an American president. We Americans owe to his memory everything which gratitude can pay, and we owe every effort that we can give to the carrying out by our government and our people of those great constructive qualities, so that the name of Franklin Roosevelt will be remembered and honored through the ages as the captain of the mind who set our national feet on this path toward great achievement. May he rest in peace, and God bless his memory.
Congregation B'nai Jeshurun.
The 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He guideth me in straight paths in his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me, even in the presence of mine enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Solemnly promise
the 1.5 million members of the American Federation of Labor of the state and city stand today with heads bowed in grief, with full understanding of the loss which every American and all those who love justice and freedom throughout the world have sustained in the death of our great and beloved president. We know of the heart of the man, his love of humanity, and his purpose to abolish poverty and want. We know how great was his desire to achieve complete victory of our global war, to unite the American people in the cause of social justice, not only in our own country, but throughout the world. We know how strong was his determination to achieve a lasting and just peace. This is the man we lost. The gathering today the people of all races, creeds, and colors is but a small indication of the purpose and determination of all America. In his memory, we must all carry on. We must see to it. We must ensure that his ideals and principles are attained. To this end, we solemnly pledge that we will stand shoulder to shoulder with industry and all Americans in our fight for the achievements of the ideals and principles of our late president, that we as united people will support our new president, Harry S. Truman, and that we offer our prayers today in behalf of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We will also beseech Almighty God to protect, preserve, and guide President Truman so that we may be strengthened and inspired to carry on and successfully complete the work so nobly begun by the leader we have lost.
In his infinite wisdom, Almighty God has taken home to himself the man whom the people of the United States elected president and whom the realities of war made our commander-in-chief. In his lifetime, Franklin Roosevelt symbolized many things to millions of human beings. Most of all, to the millions beyond the seas who never saw him, he was the living symbol of the power, the compassion, and the promise of freedom which spells America. To people in terror and pain, driven through the hideous nightmare of destruction and agony which is war, and even to the unhappy masses in enemy countries, his name stood for understanding, for help, and for a shining new world. In these terms, he spoke for every one of us, and men listened and believed in him. History will find its own words to describe him. In this troubled and solemn hour, as I try in all humility to speak for American industry, I think there is just one word that I want to use, because I know its truth of my own knowledge. Franklin Roosevelt was a brave man. Power and compassion and freedom are global words by which whole nations are described. But courage is a personal, intimate thing, no bigger than the man it measures. On the bitter, lonely, and discouraging nights when the Axis armies stood poised on the channel, when the flames and blood of Pearl Harbor and the agony of Bataan cut deep into America's heart, when every battlefield and every sinking ship seemed to mock our efforts, and only confusion and ineptitude were harvested on the home front, on these nights, Franklin Roosevelt could turn only to himself in that desolate loneliness which men in high places know. In himself, he had to find the strength and courage and faith that must ultimately set the nation's hand to victory. Miraculously, he had that courage, and he found that strength. He expended it completely, willingly, generously, like every other good soldier in his country's service. Day in and day out, he was driven by the desire to minimize the human cost of war, to protect the bodies and lives of our fighters by throwing against the enemy an overpowering mass of weapons, of ships and planes and tanks and guns. This man, whom many called impractical, masterfully calculated the physical factors in the greatest war the world has ever known, and then demanded a performance from industry so fantastic in its totals that it staggered the imagination. 100,000 planes a year, 20 million tons of ships. But the miracles were performed over and over, and today the power of the United Nations marches through Europe and the Pacific. In dramatic justification of one man's confidence in his fellow citizens, rolling toward a final victory that he will not see. And yet he did see it from the beginning, because he knew Americans. He was part of their blood and bone and spirit. Even on such short and tragic notice, our sense of history must tell us
that this man was part of the American tradition, a tradition which puts no limits on achievement, refuses to ration its sacrifice, and makes courage and idealism its religion. Finally, he has given us by his devotion a new objective beyond victory, unity at home and among nations. Let us put our back and our heart into that, in his memory.
We solemnly pledge, for us of the CIO, as for all true Americans, Franklin Delano Roosevelt will never die. He will live because the ideals and the goals to which he gave his life are imperishable. We shall keep and fulfill our determination to remain united with our fellow Americans of all fields of effort, of all races, creeds, and nationality origins. United with our fighting sons and brothers in uniform, we shall strive ever to advance the high purpose of the best American democratic traditions in the spirit of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who consecrated his life to the proposition that the welfare of our great nation is inseparably bound with the welfare of the working people. We solemnly pledge our total efforts to building the kind of America, the kind of world for which Franklin D. Roosevelt labored and toward which President Truman will find us working loyally and under his able leadership.
The close of the services, benediction, the Reverend John Sutherland Bunnell, Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church.
Now unto God's gracious mercy and protection we commit you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In your going out and in your coming in your rising up and in your lying down, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come at last to stand before him in that day to which there is no sunset and no dawn. Amen.
Oh, just say, can you see? By the dawn's early light, what's so bright?